Coco.
Good on you, Jim.
Good on you.
Good on you, mate.
Yeah, it's good on you, mate. Well, listen, this is where, well, we often say ordinary people do extraordinary things, but this man ain't ordinary. No. Have a listen to this. US-born marine scientist, researcher, deep-sea shipwreck hunter David Mearns has found and filmed some of the world's most famous and controversial shipwrecks. Got the book out called The Shipwreck Hunter, and he joins us now. David, welcome to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, how do you become a shipwreck hunter?
Yeah. Well, I used to think I've made a wrong turn somewhere in life, but it's turned out all right. I was a scientist. I was a marine geologist, and most marine geologists work for big, bad oil companies.
Yep.
I didn't want to do that, right. So I wanted to go to sea, and that meant finding a company that would hire me, and the only one that did was a contractor for the U.S. Navy doing search and recovery around the world in very, very deep water.
And that's your life, going out there and trying to find ships that are buried deep, deep, deep in the sea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sunk as opposed to buried. But yes, if they were buried, then it would be really difficult.
Yeah. I thought you were, all right, sunk then, maybe. Yes,
it's a very technical term, you know, sunk and buried.
Sorry about that, Mernsy. Now, so how does that work? I want to know, because you hear of the Bismarck being sunk.
Yes. I wasn't around when it was sunk, but yeah, I heard about it later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you try and work out whereabouts.
That's right.
Yeah.
The first rule of shipwreck hunting is you can't find it unless you look in the right place.
Yes.
So you need to go into the archives and find out all the information from what we call primary sources, from people who were there, eyewitnesses to the event that recorded positions, navigation information, courses, speeds, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And you put that together. And then you start combining it with oceanographic analysis, currents and tides and things like that. And then you have to take a look at what the seabed topography is like.
Which is?
Well, if it's...
How deep it is?
Well, yeah, that's the first part, how deep. But also, is it flat? Is it mountainous? And you put all these together in a plan, and then you go out and raise a lot of money and have a go.
So, you know the seabed. Is it like here, above water? Is there mountains and...
The biggest mountain in the world is not Everest.
No.
It's underwater.
Is it?
Yeah, and the biggest mountain chain in the world is underwater. It's the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, 40,000 kilometers.
Wow. Did you know that, Jim?
I did. Well, I didn't know the biggest mountain was there, but I did know it wasn't
Well,
flat.
if you measure from, you know, the deepest part of the ocean is the Marianas Trench.
How deep's that?
It's like 10,800 meters.
Right.
Right?
So
just under 11 Ks.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going from the bottom to the top, you know, it's deeper than Everest is high by a long stretch. Wow.
So when you find these shipwrecks, what sort of nick are they in? Like, is it just carnage or are they actually quite well preserved?
It's both. Depends on what's happened to them. And some ships are carnage. Hood was carnage. It had two magazine explosions.
Bismarck. My favorite?
Bismarck is a lovely shipwreck on the seabed, even though all the turrets came out, the superstructure was down, but the hull shape is actually just like it was built. And so it's interesting in that way.
HMSA.
Sydney.
Even HMAS.
Sydney.
Sydney, yeah.
Sydney. That one.
Sydney. Sydney. The bow is off of Sydney. The rest of it's upright on the seabed, but it's been riddled with shell fire and torpedo fire from the Germans. So Sydney is in bad condition, but it is a recognizable, identifiable ship.
Was that Australia's worst shipwreck?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many died? How many Aussies?
Well, it's the worst naval shipwreck, 645 men, total loss of life.
Everyone on the ship?
Yeah. So in proportion to Australia's population at the time, Sydney was a greater loss than Pearl Harbor was to America or than Hood was to England.
Yeah.
So that explains why it's so significant here. Yeah.
And it was known, well, people thought it was the unfindable shipwreck,
yes,
HMAS Sydney.
That's right.
Why is that?
Well, they didn't believe the German accounts. That's the first thing. Because all the Australians died, there's only one side of the story, the German side of the story.
Right.
They didn't want to believe or accept the German side of the story. Mm. And there was too much uncertainty about it. And also, there isn't anybody, Australia doesn't have a sort of history of people like me or companies like I've worked with in the past that do this. So I think they were working on a basis that this is too hard.
Right.
And I always thought it was possible to do. And, you know, in the end, we proved it because we found Sydney in what, Well, we had to find a German ship first, and I think we found that in 64 hours, and then we found Sydney 67 hours later. Gee. We basically found both shipwrecks in one weekend.
How good a feeling is that when you actually, froffies for everyone?
PDG.
PG, yep. Which is what? PGD. What is that?
Pretty damn good.
The Shipwreck Hunter is the name of the book, a lifetime of extraordinary discovery and adventure in the deep seas. This is a man who found HMAS, Bill, Sydney.
That's it,
which
Jim.
A lot of people thought would never be able to be found.
Hood,
I want to ask
Bismarck.
You, about, we're going to get to the flight that went missing, the Malaysian Airlines flight, because I know you've got some thoughts on that. But before we get to that, what happens with the treasure? If you ever find any. If you dig up and you get the big Spanish Armada and up comes the chest with a whole lot of gold bullion, is that yours to keep? Are you just, once you've found it, it's yours?
Well, there's two types of treasure hunters. There's one who do keep it and try to sell it, and that's generally the people who wind up in court or in jail or both. And then there are people who think of the history as the treasure, the artifacts that go into museums, and I'm the latter type.
But surely if you found it, you keep it. Who owns that treasure?
The fundamental, people think that there's this rule of the sea where it's finders keepers, losers weepers, or that's completely false. Mm. Actually, whoever your rights of ownership do not diminish or not relinquished because you've lost something in the ocean. As a matter of fact, the law of salvage and the basically protects ownership rights in perpetuity. So if you had a boat, right, that was very valuable and it sank and you died, it would pass to your children. Oh. It would pass and so on. As long as that line of ownership can be shown to be proven, it's yours. So if somebody comes and salvages it, they have a lien against that property, but they've got to come back to you as the owner and give you something back because it's your property that's been lost.
All right. Now, tell us about this Malaysian Airlines flight, MH370, of course. Tragic event. No one knows. Well, they say they don't know where it is. You have been in contact with a couple of the relations of the victims, and there might be a chance that you go looking for it. Is that right?
Well, yes. Right now, the search is suspended. The families are very frustrated. They're disappointed that happened. It's uncertain about whether the government is going to resume the search. So there has been some talk whether a privately funded expedition can be mounted. So that's when I was contacted by a number of people and beginning to work with experts and beginning to talk to the families and seeing if that is something that's going to have to be done. First, we have to wait for the ATSB to put in their final report. We have to wait for the tripartite governments, China, Malaysia, Australia, to decide what's going to happen next. Yep. If they resume the search, then I think that should go ahead. And the ATSB has a very, very difficult job. This is absolutely unprecedented in terms of the size of the area and everything like that.
I'm about to ask you that. Is it just a complete needle in a haystack?
It is very, very difficult, this one, but it is findable. I think that's the main message I want to get to people. Based on my experience and everything I've learned about this, it is findable. Again, you have to look in the right place. And they're getting closer and closer. So the next search will be smaller than the area that they've already looked at. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of the equipment. It's not a matter of the depth. All of those things are difficult. They make it expensive, but it still could be done.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff that I've used in the past. As a matter of fact, new technology is available today or in a different way than what they were doing even a year ago. And so now we can do it much faster.
Yeah. Well, Bill, if you were a relation, you'd want a closure.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't blame people.
You know, there's six Australian families, and obviously people feel for them, but then they think, well, it's a lot of money to spend for six Australian families. But you fly, we all fly, right? You all rely on a safe global airlines. Yeah. I've been on a 777 twice this year. We still don't know what happened to that plane. And it is just unacceptable and basically inexcusable for a modern airliner to crash and for us to not know what happened. We cannot let that stand.
Yeah.
Well, the book's called The Shipwreck Hunter. Get stuck into it. I'm guessing in all good bookstores?
Yep.
Only the best.
Only the best bookstores. The Shipwreck Hunter. David Mearns, thank you very much for dropping by. We've loved chatting to you.
Thank you.
On ya, Mearnsy.